I'm Leanne Hansen. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News in Washington, and I have two gentlemen in the studio. The first is Robert Chandler. He is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel, a strategic analyst, and he's also written two books on Iraq, specifically on weapons of mass destruction. Thank you so much for coming in this morning, Colonel.
Thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by Lauren Thompson, who teaches military strategy and technology at Georgetown University. He runs the defense project at the Lexington Institute. Thank you for coming in today as well.
Good to be back.
Let me start with you, Colonel Chandler. What does Saddam Hussein's capture mean for the prosecution of this war?
I think it has overwhelming aspects of it. Most wars that you have, one individual wouldn't make a lot of difference. But in this particular case, because of the nature of the regime that was pulled down, Saddam Hussein looms in major importance, and especially in terms of the counteraction after the time that we were able to go into Baghdad. I think that now, as we see him go down, that it becomes very clear to his fighters, those that were supporting him, that there's only one way, and that is to lay down their arms. To come in. It means an amnesty, and the process usually would be is we will get some of those to come in, hopefully give them some rewards for bringing in weapons, and then we would send them back to their comrades and say, look, the Americans aren't that bad. Yeah, they're going to question you and the rest of it, but they give you good food. Not only that, they're going to give you a couple of dollars or whatever the local currency is to be able to get yourself reestablished, lay it down, and come in. The hardcore, however, and there will always be a hardcore, those that will not do that, I think we should expect they will find a way to meld themselves into the foreigners, primarily into the al-Qaeda elements that are present in Iraq and fighting the Americans. And I think that particular aspect of it will continue, but the intensity level of the conflict against Americans will be lessened.
Major General Odierno, and forgive me for mispronouncing his name, said that the work indeed will go on with U.S. forces. What do you think is the biggest risk now to U.S. forces in Iraq?
Now, the biggest risk right now is that we will get a little bit complacent in terms of the operations that we have with special forces, using our special forces and our intelligence that broke this and made this thing happen, and working closer with the Iraqis and turning this thing over to Iraq. I mean, we all, at least I do, remember a Vietnamization program, and the Vietnamization program was necessary because Americans took too much of the war. We can't allow that to happen. We need to involve the Iraqis and do it now, which we are, but in a greater extent, and finally just find a way to leave and leave them on firm ground.
Of course, what happens to U.S. forces is going to be a result of either the stability or continued instability in Iraq. And I want to turn to Lauren Thompson and your expertise. What do you think, how will the resistance movement, will it continue in Iraq, and what form do you think it's going to take?
It's definitely going to continue. We don't know what level of intensity, but of course that's the core of the problem here. There's so much we don't know about this country. You and I have talked earlier about the fact that even though we knew pretty precisely what part of the country Saddam was in, it took us months and months to find this usually very visible character. We don't know the exact dynamics of who it is we're fighting in other parts of the country, who's doing the car bombs. We don't know the degree to which this resistance is still tied to Saddam the man or has now taken on a life of its own, reflecting General Odierno's discussion of those family, those tribal ties, the Sunni ethnic identity. These things all have to be played out. But, Leanne, I would make one important point. Saddam Hussein ran Iraq for 23 years. That's almost twice as long as Hitler ran Germany. Prior to spring of this year, the vast majority of Iraqis could not remember a time when Saddam was not the leader. So he's a very powerful symbol. And the fact that he's now been captured in such ignominious circumstances has to work to our advantage.
Is this something that might indeed embolden the Shia majority in Iraq? And what effect might this have on the Kurds in the north?
This is certainly a very important question that now is going to be addressed frontally. Until we caught Saddam, this was all sort of provisional as to what would happen next. But now that he is taken care of, we have to confront the reality that Iraq was created by the British after World War I as an artificial entity. It's not unlike former Yugoslavia. And for that reason, it's not so clear that anybody other than a dictator can hold together the three fractious groups that make up the majority of the population.
What do you think, Colonel Chandler, the fact that the risk to American forces, given that there might be fragmentation among religious or cultural factions?
Well, the fragmentation is entirely possible, and certainly on the surface it looks that way. However, I would ask you to take a look at Spain. Spain used to be called the Spains, plural, because of the different peoples. And there were the Catalans, the Basques, the Castilians, and then there were the Moors to the south, which is now still a very Moorish influence in terms of that aspect. After Franco, they were able to find a way to put all that together in terms of regional independence and taxes at a lower level, and at the same time do that within the context of Spanish sovereignty. And they've been very successful, and they're doing very well in Spain as a result of it. And I would hope that we would think about bringing in Spain and their experience and to help the Iraqis find their way through this maze and keep it in terms of a potential model.
Professor Thompson, your reaction?
That's an interesting analogy. Two things come to mind. I think it's fairly valid lesson because Spain once was a very divided country. However, I'd say two things about that. First of all, it had a unifying religion, right? Which is not the case right now in Iraq. In fact, you might say Iraq has a dividing religion because of the schism between the Sunni Arabs and the Sunni Kurds on the one hand, and the 60% majority of the population that is Shia. The Shia are the minority within Islam, but they are majority within Iraq, and there is a key fault line in terms of creating a country in the future. The other point I'd make with regard to the Spanish analogy is the Basque separatist movement, ETA, is still out there, and it's still been fighting after, like, what, two generations at this point?
No, the Basques, there's a misconception in this country. The Basques started out fighting for nationalism and the rest. The Basque people have joined Spain, and they have joined that as a separate entity. There's only has been a small clique of Marxists with a vague idea of what they wanted to do, who were allied with the Provisional IRA in Ireland, and they're the ones that have been doing the terrorism and the other kind of aspects in there. But the Basque people, by and large, support the Spanish government, or at least their role within the sovereignty.
These are interesting analogies, I think, that can be drawn between the situation in Iraq and situation elsewhere. But I think the news today probably means that no one is really certain, actually, what will be happening next in the country. And it should remain a place, at least for a while, of some instability, which certainly could have an effect on the American occupation forces there. I want to thank Robert Chandler, who's the retired U.S. Air Force colonel. He's a strategic analyst and has written two books on Iraq. I appreciate your time this morning, sir. And Lauren Thompson teaches military strategy and technology at Georgetown University. He runs the Defense Project at the Lexington Institute. Thank you again for your insight.
Thanks, Leanne.